If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. We are three women new to the world of professional wrestling, and what we can't figure out from context, we're making up as we go. We have friends who are better at learning. They're not on this podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we're back after a week off. Did everybody have a fun time on their government-mandated AEW content break?
I went to Tennessee and watched lots of content. Sat by a lake, so no complaints from me, although I could not stream any wrestling while I was there because the internet rural broadband is a real travesty. I don't know if you've heard about this from media types who went to their summer homes during the pandemic, but can confirm.
How were they watching their wrestling then?
I don't know.
A huge infrastructure activist.
Exactly. Should they be addressing this with some sort of legislation? I think so.
Yeah. Makes you think.
Yeah, so well, it was good we didn't do anywhere. The podcast because I would not have been able to stream this Zoom while allowing my parents to watch television. So,
I like the idea of you making your parents sit in silence in another room while you use all the internet.
All the available bandwidth, yeah.
I need every bandwidth we have. we watched some stuff. In the past couple of weeks, there was a lot of content, I guess I should say, actually.
There was a lot of content.
I haven't watched all of it.
My sense of time is all over the place.
Yeah, it all, like, honest to God, it all has swum together where I'm like, I'm not sure when anything happened. So that's going to be
really
exciting.
Well, no, because Dynamite was on Friday last week, and it was like a pre-PPV Dynamite, so it was kind of a weird one, honestly. Yeah. And then it's on Friday again this week, so we don't have our usual Wednesday tentpole.
Right, so you guys are hearing this on Sunday, and you've watched Dynamite, but we have not watched Dynamite, so you are the future.
You may or may not have watched Dynamite.
It's Thursday. Yes. So.
Yeah. I also will not have seen Dynamite on Sunday.
You won't have seen it on Sunday?
No, I have a friend coming to a visit, so I don't know when I will see Dynamite. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't hear about that.
Well, Nan, who doesn't listen to this podcast, I'm very excited to talk to you about wrestling.
Oh, exciting. Will she like to hear about wrestling?
Yeah, she's actually she's the one who got me into the Shield back in the day. But
wow. But she doesn't listen to our podcast, you say?
No, and that's a call out from me to her.
well.
I expect you to put a real hard sell on her while she's visiting you, though.
Just pipe it through your house loudspeaker.
Yeah, exactly. Just normal
guests. What everybody loves to do to guests.
Rise and shine. A little wake-up call from me to you. It's this great new podcast I've heard about.
You know, if you listen to it double speed while you're sleeping, you really internalize everything you hear, I think. So,
well, it is going to be very exciting because the last time, not to keep talking about my personal life, but the last time Nan was here, she was into wrestling and I only cared about the picture she showed me. Now this time she's coming, both me and Sarah have lost our minds. And so we're like, Nan, we have a lot to talk to you about. And she's like, where did this happen?
She's like,
God.
Like, does she watch AEW?
She watches both AEW and WWE, I believe New Japan. So
She watches everything. That's a real fan.
Yeah,
she should be doing a podcast.
She without further ado, although I loved discussing our personal lives, ladies, let's get into the, I thought we could talk about the pre-PPV, or as I wrote, pre-PV Dynamite, which does sound like an STD, but we could talk about what happened before the PPV. So that was our first show that we've seen, like, in live time with a full actual crowd.
Yeah. And that was the debut of the new setup, in which there, I don't know if this is staying, obviously, but the only one tunnel, which is making fools out of us.
Well, no, it's still we're still talking about them because they all come out of the tunnel. I don't think that it ruins our, I don't think it ruins our podcast
A good boy tunnel and a bad boy tunnel, it was, I mean, there were just more tunnels to talk about, you know.
There were more tunnels, but we didn't say tunnels talk.
That's such a good point. That's such a great point.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous. Okay. Well, I'm not nervous, but I do want two tunnels. I want I want my two tunnels back.
I want everyone clearly delineated into.
You tell me if they're good or bad. I can't figure it out with my little brain.
No.
I mean, not that I ever pay attention to who came out of which tunnel. I'm constantly getting corrected about it, but...
But we get to be outraged at the inner circle coming out of the wrong, the face
exactly.
tunnel. So
they've robbed us of things that we might want to be mad about.
Exactly. It was really weird with the crowds. Like, I liked the energy, but it was really different. I felt a little bit like, oh, this is like what wrestling's supposed to be. And we've been watching it the whole time when it's not like that, which it's like at the end of Fight Club, you know, it's like wrestling's holding our hand and being like, you met me at a very strange time in my life. Kind of.
It was pretty weird because I got like kind of stressed about the crowds where I was watching the crowds a lot being like, are you guys having fun? Do you like this? I hope you like this. Do you not? I don't. You're right. I don't like this part that much either. But you should look happy.
Yeah.
Please. It did hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah. Even though we all watch it together, it like felt really different to me because it's like, you can kind of, when there's no crowds, feel like the wrestlers are kind of just performing for you. Whereas with the crowd there, it's like, oh, right. A lot of people watch this and also have emotions about it. Like,
yeah. And different emotions than my own. I learned from some of the crowd reactions.
It's true. Yeah. Although some of them, like, I kind of felt like this is like getting out of order a little bit. But like Max Caster got a really good crowd reaction. And I was like, oh, I thought we were maybe the only ones who like him. But everybody likes him.
Everybody
like,
loves
exciting.
The acclaimed. That is true.
I felt so like the wrestlers were really enjoying it, too. Like, just they seemed very energized by it, which was great.
They did seem happy boys and girls getting their enrichment activity of performing That's for right. crowds. So pleased for them and for their mental health. So we had a couple of, well, we won't touch on everything that happened in that Dynamite, but there were some big things. So we had a very funny weigh-in section.
I really don't understand. Like, it's not the first weigh-in we've seen, but I just don't get it. Like,
well, it was the most, like, serious weigh-in, though. Because Paul White said at the beginning, he was like, there's going to be no nonsense. And I was like, that means there'll be nonsense. But there was not any nonsense, actually.
No. But his vibe was very stern. It was, like, a very strict high school football coach, like, yelling at all. Like, I don't want to see any, like, gum chewing and, like, you know.
But they need to chew their gum when they do their wrestling.
I know. Well, otherwise, how would you know they were a heel without the tunnels?
And we did see Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo stripped to their underwear, which with Anthony Ogogo, that was cool.
Yeah,
Cody, it's like, I don't need to see it. I now hate Cody. So
he never Cody's looked really more like a Ken doll. Line.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's true.
Ugh. Yeah. I know. It felt very like sometimes we manifest things, but it's a real monkey's paw. And that kind of felt like, we get to see them strip, but it's Cody. Like, oh, wah, wah. No, thank you.
Other highlights fairly briefly. We did see Miro dominate Dante Martin, although I don't remember a lot of it. I hope you're okay, Dante.
It was pretty intense. Like, it felt like a little destruction there. Dante Martin just looks so young, too. Like,
yeah, he looks like a little baby.
He is the youngest boy at AEW, I believe. Yeah. Only 22 or something.
They love to say, I feel like he might even be younger than that. Like, wasn't he?
I hope you loved life while you lived it, buddy.
Pretty much. And there was some good setups for the pay-per-view, like Orange Cassidy ripped up Kenny's offer to not make him wrestle. And
Orange punched everybody, which
did
I
a lot of orange punching. Yeah. And they really sold it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just to down. Prove I don't have a head injury still. I'm doing fine. I can punch freely.
Don't worry great. About me.
Don't you worry about me. And they also announced a new commentator, I guess, for Rampage, which I guess is right. Rampage is starting in August. Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think that's
which
what they
I guess
said,
isn't that long from now.
It's not that long
say
from
that,
now.
I'm like, oh God, it's June.
I had thought it wasn't going to start till they went to TBS, I guess from the one article I read. So, but can't wait to experience that. And we watched the Inner Circle.
It's going to be interesting because we're never going to be able to report on Rampage because we always record on Thursday nights. So we're going
to, well, I guess we'll be able to report the previous week's Rampage.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that we're like, we don't do Rampage. That's not our beat. We're not Sorry. Rampage girls.
We
yes,
can't adjust
after
our
dark.
Schedule.
Yes, it's very sexy, but no, we don't talk about it.
After dark.
Oh, man.
And you know, if Rampage is really good, we can always adjust what day we record too. So I don't really anticipate it being really good, but you know.
I think it could be really good, but I think that it'll be just our dirty little indulgence.
The one we always forget.
That's for us, actually.
Rampage is our time. We don't have to share everything with you guys. Okay, well, does anyone have anything else to say about the pre-PV?
That's so gross sounded. No, I don't think so. There's a lot of setup.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the PPV itself. So we're just going to run through it.
And for once, we didn't really watch together. Normally, we're in our group chat all together. But, like, I went over to a friend's house in town, and Allie had a friend over, and roommates watched. So
I know. I really had to pay attention because my roommates were really enjoying it, and that was thrilling to me. So
yeah, that's very exciting.
I had to hear, like, their hot take. Josh has watched some wrestling before in the past, but Anna never really has, so... there was a lot
I'm
very of
stuff excited
like,
for their
what is happening here? And I was like,
I hope
that
they
is
start
a very
watching
reasonable question
Dynamite with you every week, like I would love that.
I don't, because we would never get to talk to Allie again.
I know, that's true. I retract my statement, but I would love to hear Josh and Anna's thoughts on it.
I have to say it was very enjoyable. Okay, so the PPV started off with Hangman Adam Page and Brian Cage teeing up. And Brian Cage came out dressed as the Machine, which I, in that moment, learned. They say it a lot, but suddenly I thought, oh, he is dressed as a machine.
Well, yeah, because he normally doesn't. I had never put that together. Like, they call him the Machine, but I thought it was just, like, a cute nickname, I think. Like, not really, like, a gimmick thing.
He is
like,
big.
Oh. Yeah, he's the Terminator, I guess.
Like, it had a real, I don't know why, but it had, especially when he was taking off his armor, it had a real, like, Party City costume vibe, or, you know.
Yeah, it was not, like, well-done armor.
It didn't look like it would protect him from a broadsword or something.
In fact,
for sure.
I would say that it was made by the same people who made the cardboard that Jericho got thrown down into that was supposed to look like panels.
Brutal. Brutal.
Our beloved prop people, we do love you. We love the work you do. Sometimes we criticize it.
But I think this whole match was worth it just for the fact that JR got to say Cage and Page in a rage.
Which
he was clearly
he sounded
thrilled.
Pretty excited about.
Yeah.
That was a pre-planned line,
be.
And good for him.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What did everybody think about? Did everybody have expectations for the match going in? Were you excited?
I haven't really gotten into this feud that much because I don't really buy that Hangman cares that much about Taz and the all of Team Taz. So I just kept being like, is this still happening? So it was fine.
I was, like, excited because I always am excited to watch Hangman wrestle. So it was like, oh, yay, like, this is happening. But, like, I think Leah put in our notes, like, did you guys care about this match? And, like, when I saw the question, I was like, oh, no, not really. As you say that, like, I wasn't emotionally invested in, like, the Brian Cage thing, like, at all.
No, I didn't have an investment in the Brian Cage part of it, but I thought it was a good opening match. As I mean, Hangman, yeah, a classic opener. He gets the crowd
loves
going
to open. Yeah,
he loves to open, and he did a great job. And he was doing some of his, you know, it's like when he flips himself over the ropes and does his. Right. He does such yeah good looking moonsaults.
Yeah,
he did his like Hangman pose mm off of Brian Cage's cool neck at one point, which is very cool. Yeah. So man, Brian Cage was kind of a good, like, big, bulky jungle gym for Hangman to do cool tricks on.
Yeah, and when Brian did his favorite move where he picked Hangman up and did arm curls with his body, he likes doing that so much. I know that. He likes it.
Yeah. And then the big turn of the match, I guess, was that Hook and Ricky Starks came out to be like, it's time to cheat.
Please clarify. Wait. Before we get there, can we please discuss what Ricky Starks came out dressed in? It was a purple pantsuit.
Yeah, well, that's Ricky. Ricky Starks loves his little pantsuits.
He's a beautiful
man.
He
does. He looks great. So
he looks cool. But they came out to interfere with the match. And what happened, ladies? To tell me.
Wait. No, well, no. I do know.
I was just thinking, like, help.
I know, both Anne and I just got twin looks of panic on our faces. We tried to like
what do you mean? Guys, I know you know this.
We know the answer. No. They offered to interfere. They tried to interfere. They tried to hit him
off. They politely offered to interfere, and Brian Cage politely declined. He said, no, good sirs, not today. And then he promptly lost, which I loved.
Yeah.
You know, and Taz turned on your friend's
Taz was livid.
Yeah, well, everything may not be so fine on Team Taz.
It is the only thing that makes Brian Cage interesting is that he is sort of becoming unhappy with the heel yeah shenanigans of Team Taz. So,
yeah, I mean, I haven't, like I said, I haven't really been into this feud that much. But if Hangman, like, rehabilitates Brian Cage, that could be fun. Like, if he teaches, he's like, this is how good people are.
Kind of a Pygmalion situation.
Yeah. Kind of like adopting
and
a four-year-old child.
Does look like a statue that came to life. Like, that is about yeah how much it looks like he has going on in his head. Sorry, Brian Cage. Very nice.
Or like an
smart
action
man
figure with like a not very realistic physique.
Oh my god, it's yeah life size, but with a G.I.
yeah
Joe.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Good.
Whoa. Okay, well, I would love to see him do some song routines.
Yeah. So. If AEW ever gets into movies the way WWE is, that's a free idea from them us to them.
We're giving them away all the time. We should be charging for these. Yeah, I don't know that I think that it has made me very interested in Brian Cage, actually, but I am kind of interested in where the plot might go. You know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like he'll be a much more interesting face than he is a heel, but
yeah.
No, for fine sure. But the act of turning might be briefly interesting, so yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so next we had Mox and Eddie versus the Young Bucks.
Wow.
Very
wow
excited for this one.
Wow, I think.
Wow.
Well.
From the beginning, I just had a look on my face that was just pure delight. It was amazing. The whole so entrance, the 40-minute entrance, it took them so long to get to the ring, and good for them, because every second was perfect.
It was a real, like, crowd-adding stuff, like... Yeah, I don't know if Mox has been coming in that way the whole time, thinking someday a crowd will be back here and this will be real good, but it was real good.
I'm sure he knows, because I have seen some clips of, like, the first time he was on AEW, and that was very much his vibe then, too, of just, like, I swagger through the crowd, and people are pawing at me, and I love that, and I'm throwing things, and I'm jumping around. Yeah, but it was great. Just yeah came out ready to wreak havoc.
Yeah, the part where he dropped the shoes and then started trashing, like, a chair area, and then was like, Eddie, where'd I drop those shoes? Had to double back for them was unreal. I was laughing the whole 40-minute entrance.
Yeah.
It was really great. The shoe stuff has been great.
The shoe stuff has been great. I think it sold me on Wild Thing. I've given in. The version yeah of Wild Thing they're using, okay, Mox is so happy. He's having yeah so much fun. He's throwing chairs. I like it now.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
You can get Stockholmed into anything. Yeah. I mean, it does have a much
yeah
better vibe with the crowd, for sure.
Yeah, it is much better than using the original version.
Yes, so. Definitely. Just a little bit faster, a little bit harder.
The crowd doing an Eddie chant, it made me so happy.
Yeah,
it was all those guys who haven't gotten to wrestle in front of a crowd for AEW before. Like that was all very emotional. I felt like Eddie and some of the young guys and stuff too, where it's just like, that was great.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but the Dark Order hasn't been in front of a crowd since they got popular, and so their faces were also so absolutely delighted.
Yeah, but I did, when I rewatched the match, and I did actually legitimately tear up about Eddie Kingston just looking so happy and Mox just showing him the crowd chanting his name. Very, very sweet.
So intense. Yeah, and then the Young Bucks were wearing a very muted set of outfits for them.
I was a little bit disappointed in them because I thought that they most unhinged, but that was almost normal for wrestlers.
I know. They like started at a 10 and then you just can't keep escalating. Like, I don't know where they could go from some of their Russian mobster outfits, but this one was just like, oh, it's just like, but they were crazy. But
yeah.
I did think it was funny that they said like pocket on the pockets, like with the quotes around the tights. Thought that was a nice little good job wardrobe.
Yeah, they did, but they got a little humor in there. The commentary team called them when they were coming out, called them disgusting human beings. Anna, who was watching with us, got so excited and she was like, they are disgusting. Which then we had quite a few fights about, actually, because I just kept being like, they're not disgusting. Of course they're on their worst behavior, but they're not disgusting. But then all the other heels she met, she was just like, are heels supposed to be disgusting? Because these ones aren't, not like the gross ones.
Set the bar too high for disgusting. That must have been hard for you.
It was pretty rough, I have to say. And Nick did not help by having dyed his hair that horrible color. I couldn't even speak for him. I was like, I have nothing to say to you about Nick, who's betrayed me.
It was very unfortunate. And with his beard being like a different color too. It was just like, the beard is good, but the hair dye is bad.
I guess in fairness to the Young Bucks, they are like, their whole shtick now, they're doing it on purpose, so they want to be seen as disgusting. But it also seemed like the kind of thing that Nick would just do for real.
It just the fact that last time we recorded, I was like, I think that Nick was more beautiful than Matt in this podcast. I think somehow Nick heard was like,
not today.
No. This is
and he felt fear. He was like, that's not what Matt wants. Fear. I can never be more beautiful than Matt.
He's like, no, like, Matt listens to this podcast religiously.
Of course. He's furious. I'm going to be in so much trouble. but it was a pretty wild like match in that everyone was just in the ring the whole time, which we were commenting on at my little view party, where we were like, are there no tag team fight rules anymore?
No.
But then on BTE this week, we found out that the Bucks bribed the refs. So I assume that was supposed to be an explanation.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, all in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the rules only get enforced when they want them to be enforced anyways. Yeah. So I was, for sure. I didn't mind it.
Rough.
It's not a complaint. I'm just saying it's what happened. It wasn't like I was sitting there being like, they've got to get one of those guys out of the ring. I was like, it's interesting that they have not removed anyone from this ring. Mox did some bleeding, some beautiful bleeding. Gushy, bright blood.
Yeah, although was this the one where they kept like talking up how much he was bleeding? And I was like, this was literally like the least amount of blood I've seen on AEW in like
They were talking it up pretty early, like it was a lot when it wasn't, but then it actually did become a lot for a while.
It did become a lot. Although again, like by the standards of the last few weeks, like not a lot. But there was a point with the commentator where I was like, guys, come on. Like, if it's not puddling in the ring, I'm not that impressed anymore.
Wow. And coming down hard on AEW. She says, blood-wise, you really let me down. Well, I thought it was a lot of blood. I agree. It was not puddling anywhere. But he's only one man. He's not the full inner circle. So.
I'm just saying, there was disturbing amounts of blood, too much blood before, and now there was just a normal amount of blood. So they just have to talk like it's, you know, a normal amount of blood.
Gotcha. Okay, well, we'll pass that along to the commentary team.
Sure, yeah.
And Nick and Matt ended up winning, which I didn't think was very surprising. But
no, I would have been surprised if they didn't. Because their reign of terror hasn't been going on for very long.
No, and Mox is about to go on paternity leave any day now. They're not going to have him with the belt and then disappear.
No, he could steal the belt and never bring it back.
I'm super curious how long he'll take off for if, you know, like.
He doesn't seem like a guy who is going to be like that, like, helpful if cooped up for long periods. You know what I mean? Not in a way where it's like men shouldn't be helpful fathers. I'm saying because of his energy level.
Renee's like, actually,
like, you
he's
want
more
him
helpful.
Flying to wrestle every week just to get it out of his system.
Yeah,
exactly.
She's like, Renee's like, he's actually a better partner when you take him out for walks. So
exactly,
he just shreds stuff at home otherwise.
Yeah. So it wasn't surprising, but I would still. Oh, I would still love to see them win again.
Yeah,
win again.
I think
win for the first time someday.
I think Eddie and Mox should eventually take the title for them after Mox's baby is an appropriate age, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be a good tag team to
otherwise
take over.
They'd have to like ramp up some other tag team to have any kind of emotional appeal with the Young Bucks, you know.
Which I guess they could, depending on how long it's going to be heel reign of terror over AEW, not to spoil the upcoming PPV results in this podcast. You all watched. Okay, anything else about the Young Bucks before we move on to the Battle Royale?
Just that part where Nick kept punching Eddie in the head and Eddie kept being like, I have no feeling in my head. I have no reaction to this. It truly was spectacular.
It was very funny to me. Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, like, I assumed the Young Bucks were going to win, but they also did a good job of having, like, quite a few moments where I thought Mox and Eddie, like, legitimately might win. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to surprise me. So I thought that was, like, a good match for the suspense there.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job, too. So the Casino Battle Royale, I will start by saying, they made us watch the rules at the beginning, which gave me a headache. I was like, I can't follow these. I won't be able to understand the rules. I'm just going to have to go with it. And that's my problem. That's with my brain. But it wasn't that difficult,
my brain
actually.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. They just sent people in waves. That's all I really need to know.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a fine match.
It was fine. Yeah. Like I mentioned before about the Dark Order, I thought it was really great when the Dark Order got to come out and they did their claw and people stood up and did the claw with him. And John Silver made this little astonished face where he was just like thrilled. And I was so happy for him.
I know. Yeah. I'm sad that he was injured for this PPV.
Yeah. Because he would have been fun.
Yeah. And he got over so much during the pandemic that it's like you should have gotten to wrestle
seriously
for crowds. But
did you guys see that end coming? Did we talk about this? I thought Christian was going to win. What did you guys think?
I definitely thought Christian was going to win. Yeah, this was like a big surprise for me. Like when it got down to like Christian and Jungle Boy and Matt Hardy, I thought, oh, maybe Jungle Boy will win. But before that, like I was still thinking Christian.
I think I didn't really have a thought about it. I don't remember thinking that I thought anything.
There were so many men. I didn't think I was going to care about this one really at all because it's just like, oh, just like the melee of like 300 people and whatever. But then I cared a lot, which was great.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good.
I got emotional about Little Jungle Boy.
I did get emotional. You're right. At the end, I did. For most of the middle, I was like, this is totally fine. I'm not.
Yeah. I was
worked up about it.
A little bit zoned out. Yeah. I was sad that Max Caster got eliminated.
I know.
Soon.
But he got a big pop.
He got a big pop. And I hope that, you know, people were watching and like people, you know, and AEW were listening and were like, wow, we've got to get that boy in front of more crowds.
Yeah. I think I did see one tweet where someone was like, oh, I wonder if they were surprised about how big a pop Max Caster got because people were mad when he got eliminated.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah. And people really were. And I was surprised at how big a pop he got, even though I loved him. Yeah, his rap was great. It was really funny, too.
They must have known that he would be, that people would be loving his raps, as they always do, and as we always have.
So last week, or the week before, I actually accidentally let two of them stack up. Marty and Sarah were discussing Christian. I don't know if you guys watched that, where they were saying that like they really didn't think that he had a great start, that they haven't done a good job of selling him. And then they said something about like he's gonna help Jungle Boy get over, and I was like, I sort of feel like Jungle Boy is helping him get over at this point. Like,
well, I think the way that I interpreted it, it felt like they were saying it as like wishful thinking, and I was like, oh, you guys do really know stuff about wrestling because it then happened. But was that they were like, Christian Cage would be doing so much like better and helping people collaboratively if he had more of a Sting like role.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is true that I think they've done the best with Sting of like the various old guys that they've brought in. We can talk about it more when we get to Sting's match. But I was really happy that.
Yeah. I just like vividly remember Sting walking out and the crowd going crazy and me being like, I don't know who this is and I don't care. Right. And it's like, but they've made me care really effectively. So that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. It did, but I think it did feel a little bit like they were doing kind of a turn in the characterization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they maybe want him to be like working more with people and having more of a kind of a father lover situation. Right.
I mean, he definitely needs some like allies, some friends. Like it just
But it's interesting because Sting doesn't talk a lot and he does a lot of the like looming and glaring that Christian's been doing. But for some reason, I love it with Sting, and with Christian, I have not really warmed up to it. And then I surprised myself with the reaction because when they did the promo on Dark Elevator, Dark, one of those, I was like, he like mentioned something about Luke Perry. And I was like, don't you talk about Jungle Boy's father. That's very manipulative. Are you trying to like worm your way into his affections by using the memory of his dead father against him?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Well, I think again, I think that Sting has done a really good job of like, at first I didn't understand it at all, as we talked about for months actually, but that like they did a good job of it's like Sting saw Darby Allin and was like, I connect with you because we both like to be rafter boys and we're like
we're both sat in the rafters with our face paint
and that, boys and that like it's really believable now when I see them together. Like Sting always looks so worried about Darby and really does look like that's my boy, I have to take care of him, and you just really buy it. Like they built it up for quite a while and then now it actually is getting a lot of payoff that I don't think I anticipated at the time.
For sure. I think that putting the time in on these storylines really works for them.
Yeah, for sure. Because of Stockholm Syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
But also because it's good writing.
Well, I'm sure in 3 weeks when I'm on the pod going, I love Christian and Jungle Boy.
I love Christian.
Of course, I always believed in them. And I think their relationship is incredibly healthy. And we love our father lovers.
I have one last question before we move on, which is, I don't remember who the Joker was. Who was Joker?
His name is Leo
Rush.
Yeah.
Oh, right. When we've never met him.
No.
It's a new guy. But I guess, like, not very big, because I guess usually the Joker reveal is, like, somebody, like, real big from, like, WWE or whatever. And this was, like, someone kind of medium to low, I think. So.
Yeah, I think he did cool wrestling. I liked
him. I did. I liked his moves a lot. I thought he was so fast. I kept being is he moving extra fast?
He did seem like he was in, like, fast forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. Okay, well, I can't wait to learn to love him 5 to 6 weeks from now. That'll be my son.
That's right.
So next, we got our little snack break, which was Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo.
I did literally use the bathroom during this one.
I had to use the bathroom during like every match. I was having gin and tonics, but I did not enjoy this match, and I don't want to see Cody anymore. He's gotten me so mad at him. I don't want to see him.
I know. Yeah, it's like before this I was like ambivalent, like a little negative on Cody, but not like that negative. But post that promo, I'm just like, ugh, get off the screen, this sucks.
I know, the combination of how terrible that promo was and getting my friend into wrestling who loves QT, I'm like, it's crazy that the commentators don't know that the Factory are faces and Cody is a heel. It's crazy that they still seem to think that Cody's not a heel.
Yeah, I it's like, what else can we say about it? Except,
I mean, I literally didn't watch it. I was just like, ugh, like, forget it. Like, more snacks. Yeah.
Yeah. I did technically see it. I don't remember a lot of it. Cody did, Greg tweeted and was like, Cody as Homelander. You just said Homelander, which was very funny. But I want to say that I also had said that in my living room. Anna and Josh had gone for a walk. They came back, and Caroline, our other friend I was watching with, I didn't think had watched The Boys, but Anna came back, and I was like, "This man is Homelander," and she was like, "Yeah, that's correct." So just getting in there to say everybody was thinking it,
but and that was another
that's a bad thing to be clear. Yeah. That's bad.
That was another match that I think had absolutely no surprises to it. I mean, I think that Jungle Boy match was the only one that I thought surprised me with the ending. That Cody one went exactly how I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, yeah. I wish that it would have surprised me. I would love it if Anthony Ogogo had beaten him.
But yeah,
I know, and it's like predictable in a bad way too.
Because America we live in,
right? Most of the other ones, like, they were predictable in a way where it's like that's the payoff. Like, it should be, like, it makes sense storyline wise. Whereas Cody's was just like, ugh, yeah, of course he had to win. Whatever.
Right, we're like, I get it. You'll get your trademark. Ugh. Congrats. Moving
right.
on.
Right. Seriously.
Yeah. And literally moving on. Then we had our Miro Lance Archer math. They didn't do any math. They fought.
Those men can't do math.
Those big boys,
they can't do it.
It was this was a man who, it was like, oh, he can kind of stand up to Miro. Like, he's not just like too tiny, you know. Miro can't just snap him in half. Like,
it was no Dante effort. Martin.
Exactly. He was no,
as everyone has always said of Lance Archer, he's no Dante Martin.
Just hearing that out on the streets, yeah.
I don't know, ladies. I think that this one gets the award for meatiest match.
Definitely the meatiest match.
Yeah, very meaty.
It would have been impossible for it to not be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of wrestlers, like, they're all out there trying to look tough, and it's fairly forced on most of them. And on Miro, it's not forced at all. It's just like, yep, I'm very scared of you.
Yeah, no, tough and big. Don't mm-hmm. necessarily want to meet him in real life.
Yeah.
No, not in a dark alley. Sorry, although Miro, I think he's actually
sure
a
nice
person.
Yeah, I think he
takes
nice.
Them all out to the movies, whatever.
Yeah, he rented out Mortal Kombat Studios.
Mortal Kombat Studios.
Well, don't worry about it. I know what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought it was a fine match. I thought it was funny that then somebody, like, people were being like, was there a real snake in Jake the Snake's bag? That's animal cruelty. And Tony Khan was like, there was no real snake. We would never torture an animal. And then various people on Twitter got mad and were like, kayfabe is over because Tony Khan told us there was no snake in the bag. And I was like, this is absolutely...
People did get real upset about the snake in the bag thing.
Like, you like, can tell there's not a psychotic. Snake in that bag, okay? Like, right, I mean, my brain and I deduced that there was no snake in the bag. So
you can
moving
just picture
on.
Like Jake the Snake out in a field, like trying to catch a snake to put in a bag. Like, this would be great in my wrestling magic.
No, it's like, animal cruelty aside, how fucking insane would it be to throw a live snake anywhere near a crowd of paying attendees?
Like, I'm sure the bag's tied real tight. It's fine. Like, don't worry about
totally
it.
Totally fine.
If it gets out in the audience, it's not a problem.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure we'll be seeing them fight again in future.
Yeah.
I'm also moving on. Well, before we move in, yeah, move on.
You
the news.
It?
I do want
to
discuss it.
I thought we had kind of more important stuff to get to, but okay, we can. We'll hit it.
All right. Well, now I feel like I have to be interesting about how I discuss. Well,
you know, you say it.
Just that, I mean, WWE has released a bunch of people, and I cannot say that I recognized many of the names, although there was a lot of, you know, hand-wringing about it, but Miro's wife got released, and people are talking about whether or not she was going to end up on AEW, and the idea of Miro with a wife is so funny to me. Like, I understand that he had it, like, they had a whole gimmick going, but,
yeah, we get it. It's his wife, and they have wrestled together, but is it right?
Like, well, I was kind of thinking that, but then I was like, you know, but Kip and Penelope, like, kind of works. Like, if they were both, like, evil and scary, like, I could kind of see it.
Yeah, I think that was their WWE shtick, though. So, I think that's the stuff that I've seen is just that people are like, we don't want to see the same stuff that they were doing on WWE, true. Where, like, I guess it was kind of like she was his mean manager and he was the Bulgarian brute and she, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Which
what
I
if
did.
They, what if they got
like...
kayfabe divorced, and then they were like exes feuding with different factions?
Actually, I think that happened in WWE. I think they got divorced.
Oh, well, man. Well, I didn't research anything for the segment.
I don't know. I almost think it would be, like, even funnier if she comes to AEW and never is in a room with Miro ever again, and they never talk about it, and she just happens to be a wrestler over there, and, like, they're
Yeah. I think the only thing that I know about her as a wrestler, because I haven't watched any, is that in early Marty and Sarah, sorry to name check them, but I love you guys. You're my favorite podcast. They just talk a lot about how she's not a very good wrestler, so I don't really want to see her.
Well, then, yeah.
It's
maybe
true.
She's gotten better and she'll be good.
When they were having the wedding and he made a joke about how wrestler weddings went before, I did an extreme deep dive where I, like, read everything about them. And I've retained almost none of it. But, like, I did at one point, like, know a lot of stuff about Lana.
Wow. Mm. Huge if true.
It's gone now, but I did know it.
At one point, she claims. I can't tell you any of it now, but don't worry.
Ladies,
about it.
If you had quizzed me 10 minutes after I read it, I would have known a lot about the stuff.
I thought you were going to say 10 minutes ago. And I was like, that's a blatant lie, really. Not right. Okay. So next we had our Shida Britt match for the women's championship belt.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I was kind of like getting, so I was obviously, I love Britt and I was excited for her to win the belt. I think we all knew she was going to win the belt, but I was kind of bummed about how the build was going because they telegraphed so much that Britt was going to win. And they kind of, I mean, I hated that Shida got beat up by Rebel like beforehand. And I felt like every single promo was either about Britt or Shida got to talk for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. I think it was a little bit rough that the lights out match went so fucking well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't really fucking know anything, but that was my feeling is that they were like, that match killed. Everybody fucking loved it. You are so over. This is the moment where it's like, we've got it. We've got to ride the momentum.
Yeah.
Which I'm only thinking about because I've been reading some stuff about the WWE guys who got released. And I think it was like Braun Strowman, where a bunch of people have been like, there was a point where he was really, really over, but WWE wouldn't push him because they weren't ready for him. And then he never got that over again.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's the kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes there, is that they're just like, this is the moment that we can't waste. But I agree that, like, it has felt a little rough that it's just like, Shida is so good.
Yeah.
And she just had, like, was the pandemic champion and she didn't get to be in front of crowds. Yeah. And it's like, it totally makes sense that Britt won and she is dope and she will be great. But it did feel kind of like, oh, this is not like the best way that this could be happening.
And I felt like the crowd at that point had gotten a little bit sleepy, which, I mean, it makes sense. It was a long day and, you know, crowds aren't used to being crowds, but like,
no.
I feel like
that's a really good point.
Right. But I feel like not even Britt got the pop that I was expecting, but I really wanted Shida to like get a big cheer. And I felt like they were so sleepy.
They did really feel sleepy at that point. And that was one of the times when it's like, I was just like, I'm really worried about the crowd. But like, you're right. People are not used to being out all day at events and out watching 4 hours of wrestling. Like,
Where they're expected
to be
screaming.
Being in our beds.
Right. Yeah, I was exhausted in my own home by the end of this. Yeah, I did. I did like that they did that on the pre-PV, the like little tribute to Shida being like the longest running champ and stuff. Like I did think that was good, because I did feel like she kind of got like less credit than she deserved in general.
Yeah. And Britt was very sincere when she talked about Shida, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, she had her like one, I thought it was a really good delivery where it's like one very sincere, like, you deserved this, you were the pandemic champ, and then she did her little heel turn on it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I was like, I can tell that you really meant that and that you're being really nice. I actually feel a little emotional right now about that. And I felt, I did also get really emotional about like that whole thing that happened right before the PPV, where one of the Spanish commentators, I guess, said something racist and
he
got
did
fired.
A, he did a racist impression of Shida. He was, it was during one of her promos, like they were repeating what they were saying like for the Spanish audience, and then he did a very racist impression of Shida. And like Thunder Rosa and Dasha were also on the commentary table, and they both were like, shut up, stop, shut up. And
good for them.
You know, And he got fired the very next day.
Yeah, he got fired right away, and she didn't say anything about it. And then after the PPV, she tweeted, and she was like, I know a lot of you were, like, wondering, were wanting me to say something. I didn't want to say anything before, like, my big match, basically. But I'm proud of my race, and that's how I feel about that, and you don't have to worry about me. And I was like, I really did get, did tear up. I was like, you fucking rock.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was really sweet. I mean, not sweet, but, like, she's great.
That's, she's the best. She's the best.
Yeah. But it was a good match. She went really beast mode, which I did like. She fought hard. She wrecked her costume, which was great.
Yeah, the rip costume was real intense. I feel like I wasn't as into this match as I wanted to be.
It felt like the beats were a little unclear, but I think that maybe also is part of, like, the feeling of, like, the build-up being, like, feeling really mixed about the build-up, being like, I want Britt to be champion, and also I just wish that something about it was slightly different.
I felt like the beginning, the first half was very slow. Like, there wasn't, like, a lot of distinguishing stuff, but then it started heating up and I got really into it by the end.
Yeah.
I thought that's right. A lot of the spots at the end were a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I did like, I liked Britt's bedazzled glove.
Yes.
That was good. It's just good costume.
For sure. Britt's whole outfit was fantastic.
Yeah, she got glitter all over the ring, which then in subsequent matches you could see on the men, which I loved.
It was getting on the wet boys. It was great. Yeah,
sticking to the wet boys. And I will also just say that JR cracked me up when he said, DMD has the highest IQ of anyone on this roster, male or female. And I was like, oh, JR, you're so proud of yourself for being progressive.
Trying so hard. Good for you.
Okay. Oh, man. And anyway, so Britt won. The end. Then we moved on to Sting, Darby Allin, Scorpio Sky, and Ethan Page.
Yeah. I think that if it wasn't Sting's first match, like, I think it would have made so much sense for Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page to win because, like, they're getting over. But I knew that because it was Sting's first match back, of course he was going to win. He was always going to win.
Yeah. I also think that I think they've still got rope to use. Like, it wasn't like they've got to win now. Yeah, like, especially since they're having so much fun healing around. Like, and I actually, I didn't really know what to expect out of the match. I thought it was great. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a good one. Sting, like, did a good job, too. Like, I was a little, like, I don't know if worry is the right word, but just being like, oh, how's this going to go? But, like, yeah, it looked good.
I mean, it's, like, I haven't watched vintage Sting wrestle. And it's, like, for an old, he's in his 60s, not to harp on it, but it's, like, he's old. He's actually decrepit. But he's older, and, like, but his vibe in the ring, it's, like, he just is so confident, like, just, like, I've got this. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just, like, the energy was so good where I was like, oh, of course Sting could destroy anybody.
Yeah, he's just got, like, a lot of charisma. Like, I feel like like that the first time he, like, talked to where, you know, like, he'd just come out and, like, stood there a few times and gotten a huge, like, scream and stuff. But, when he talked, it was like, oh, I see why this guy was, like, a big deal because, like, he's good at talking.
And people did go absolutely crazy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were very, very excited. My favorite AEW dad.
Yeah. And Darby got a lot of, got thrown pretty far. He did a lot of diving.
He does Darby not more than ever.
I'm worried about the fact that man does not seem to feel pain.
No. That's what people are always tweeting about, where they're like, he can take anything, but should he?
Well, my friend I was watching with was telling me that, like, Darby's deal is that, like, his plan is, like, he's only going to wrestle for, like, a few years. So then he's, like, not concerned about, like, preserving his body for the rest of his life, I guess, apparently.
Like, is he concerned about preserving it to live his life?
I guess not. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Wow, I love it. So I didn't realize that Darby was limited edition.
Well, that's apparently what he has said. I don't know. I was, like, looking at his Wikipedia entry during this match, and it's just, like, it's so funny. Like, everything in it is just so, like, over-dramatic art film goth guy. like it says, for about 3 years, he was intentionally homeless. Like, oh yeah, that checks
gotcha.
Out. That sounds right.
Yeah. Nailed it. Well, two of his brothers, or I guess maybe his only two brothers, I don't know his deal, were in the crowd. He got thrown into them. Ethan Page threw him in, and it was pretty insane. I was like, wow, Ethan Page, yeah. You are actually very strong.
I know. Oh, and he really got a lot of, like, air on that one. It was like, I don't think that's, like, cool.
Which
like,
is often the case with Darby, where you're just like, should yeah. he have gone that far? Leah, what I wanted to ask you was, I completely missed whatever backstory we got about Darby and Ethan Page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they mentioned it on one of the Dark or Elevator. I love how I never know what happened on Dark or Elevator. It could have been either one. They started mentioning it then, and then they said it again during the commentary that apparently Ethan Page and Darby Allin have huge history in the indies and had like brutal feuds where they, and like, whoa. Apparently there's like a scar on Ethan's face that Darby gave, or vice versa. It might be vice versa. It might be a scar on Darby's face that Ethan gave him. But like, they were like, it's insane. They hate each other. And I was like, whoa. Why am I only hearing about this now? And
I
was
like, I know. I'm like, wow. Our listeners can't see my face, but when I heard scar on face, my eyes
I know.
Lit up.
The fact that like, Ethan took his new husband to wrestle his ex-boyfriend. Like, that is things that I need to know beforehand.
To,
I didn't,
like, that's help
pro wrestling.
Throw his ex down the stairs. And then Ethan Page brings up how he threw him down the stairs, like, constantly.
A lot. Yeah. He's really
he's
proud
of himself.
He's very
proud of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, again, I thought it was a great match. They won. That's right. They won. We talked about that. And there was something else I was going to say that I've forgotten. Any other thoughts? Do you like that, guys?
I liked a lot how Sting was like being very concerned for Darby in this one. I feel like the intensity of that really like went up,
absolutely.
Which was great.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sting's, this is my final thought, is just that Sting's face paint came off his nose really quickly. And so he had kind of a pink little nose really early on, like a little dog. And that was cute.
I love the dog nose face paint stuff because it kind of happens that way fairly regularly. Not even getting one off, but sometimes they like paint it black,
like,
and you're like, oh no.
And his mask, it happens.
Yeah. Whoever pointed out that Penta never paints the underside of his nose, it's such a problem because I look for it every time, and I'm like, look at your pink little nose.
Oh, you're so cute.
Adorable.
Okay, and then penultimate match, we got Kenny, Pac, and OC. Very fun.
Yeah, should have been the last match, I thought, but I was kind of glad it wasn't, because by the time of the last match, I was pretty worn out. So
yeah, I had to go to bed.
Yeah, but it was good. I didn't know what to expect from like a three-way match because I'd never seen one before, and I was like, I assume there'll be like some kind of rules about who engages with who when, but there weren't, and so that. But it kept it really interesting. I think when they get thrown out and then be coming back in, and
the rule
it felt
is
very.
Just-
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just trying to double check my own understanding. The rule is just that whoever got pinned, whoever pinned someone won, and you could pin anybody.
Right. Yeah. So like if Pac pinned OC, then Kenny lost the championship even though he wasn't involved. So. Right.
But no, like I think what Anne said that I also thought was that there was going to be some kind of rule about there can only be two people
in the ring at a time,
and then there'd be a complicated way to get into the ring. But it turns out all three of them could just be wheeling on each other.
Even though we see a lot of men in the ring a lot of the time, for some reason, the three of them did feel like a lot of man in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I was
they're
just
very
like,
strong
is, these...
personalities.
And they're so different.
Strong men.
Yeah.
Really different. They like sync together well, because I think I didn't quite know what to expect from the three of them wrestling when they are such different like styles and stuff. But like I thought it worked really well. It felt very like well choreographed, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it really moved well, and
for sure it kept up a good energy.
Yeah. And like I was sure that Kenny was gonna win. Like it just made sense. Yeah. I was like, there's absolutely no way that Orange Cassidy will win. Like maybe Pac, but even that, like I doubt. But there were like several times towards the end where I like honestly was like, wait a second, is Orange Cassidy like about to win? So I thought that was pretty good when I was like, no, but maybe. So
the whole week I kept being like, Kenny's obviously gonna win. That's not like the whole point of this is not that, you know, anybody else is gonna win. But something about when Chuck Taylor came out carrying OC's backpack, the moment I said that backpack, I was like, Listen, you can't show a gun in the first act and not use it. And so I was like, he's gonna win.
He's
and so
gotta
like,
put that belt in there.
Yeah. I messed it up. I like messed up my whole brain space because I was like, that backpack. I saw the backpack.
I saw the backpack.
But to make an entry in the what is it? Relentlessly Horny Award.
I don't have that one. No.
Fearlessly.
But
fearlessly.
Horny. I like Relentlessly though. That's a different award. So bring it, Leah.
OC looked so good in the tight jeans. Like those jeans, yeah. Those were tight jeans, and I enjoyed. I enjoyed watching him move in such jeans.
In my move.
He flipped Pac and Kenny at the same time, and
yeah,
I
that was really
loved
early
it.
On.
I know
that was like one
was
of the first
like,
things
oh.
that happened where I was like, "Oh yeah. shit, we are out the gate!"
Yeah, and I was like, "My boy is trying. Look at him go!"
I know, and he tried the whole time, and he yeah. was really like pulling some stuff when he threw Pac yeah. out of the ring to
yeah.
pin Kenny. It was a great match. It was great.
It was really good.
Some great aerial shit from Pac, who like yeah. I just forget. Is yeah. good at aerial stuff.
I know. I don't think of him as like a real high flyer, but he really. And then so in this match, I kept being like, "Oh my god, that was so high!" Like,
well, it is. I think I thought at one point when he did that like cannonball basically, and he was flipping in the air.
Yeah,
I
was
like,
was
he
crazy.
Dives off of the ropes like he's in the water, and then I was like, because he swims so much to get to AEW. Every week.
He lives in the sea and he comes out.
That's his superpower. He's Aquaman.
I did get a little worried about Orange Cassidy's brain because whenever he got like slammed or anything, I was like, his head is injured. It was lately injured.
Oh my god!
Be careful with his little head.
Every time Pac picked up OC, I was like, you cannot be trusted anymore.
Sir?
I don't trust you.
You
put him down.
Once.
Put him down. You don't know what to do with him.
That's my most fragile possession. And Pac, you almost dropped him last week.
I've only known Orange Cassidy for 9 months. If anything happened to him. Yeah. And then the match ended up, because Don Callis interfered, the match ended up being timed out.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
know why I can't
also,
learn
OC
what it's called.
Was pinning Pac, and he was on a two count, and then Kenny slammed Bryce with the belt and knocked him out
yeah.
so that he couldn't complete the
so
count.
So the ref couldn't, yeah.
I genuinely thought that OC was going to kill Don Callis. Like, I just had a moment where
face,
I was like, I'm
Don
worried.
Don Callis, like, did a great, I mean, he was doing great acting, where he, like, startled when he saw OC's face, and it was a face of absolute rage. And then that was the end, like, one of the end shots of the match, too, was just the camera zooming in on OC looking heartbroken, which was
so
the horniest thing that's happened to me in months.
Yes.
And I thought,
seeing
he wants
that
belt
sad.
So bad, now I'm gonna
I
lose
know.
My mind.
Yeah. I know. And I really didn't expect him to come close to winning, like, especially like closer than Pac, and like to have it. I feel like there's been multiple matches where he's lost, but like on a technicality or something. So I was like really pleased with that as an outcome. Cause I was like, AEW is taking my son seriously. Like, he's tough.
Yeah.
He could have
yeah.
won this match.
Which I guess is kind of similar to when he fought Cody and the match timed
yeah,
out, is that they have done
of.
That. They really are leaning into their just like, he could, we know he can do it, and you know he
yeah.
can do it, but he's not going to do it just yet.
Just yet. We're just going to hold.
And when he
off.
Does, I'm going to go feral.
Yeah, of
I'm
course.
I know. I want him to win that belt so badly. He wants it. He could do it.
And he so rarely wants things.
I
so
know.
You have to let him have it. yeah, no, the podcast will be one long scream. So
yeah.
let's just quickly hit on Stadium Stampede before we do our best and worst of the night.
Stadium Stampede. This was one where I'm like, I don't know. It felt very disjointed to me because they kept like cutting, you know, really exploring the space of the Jaguars offices and, you know, backstage areas and stuff. But because yeah. they kept like cutting between pairs of men, I don't know. It felt like a little slow to me, kind of. I was really tired by this point too. I was at my friend's house and I was like, I have to drive home. Like, it's almost midnight. I want to die. So like that didn't help, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. It is a real marathon. These PPVs.
Oh yeah.
I was really hoping it'd be more like 3.5 hours than 4, but you know,
more fool you. I think that it's like there was lots of stuff that I wasn't wildly interested in, but then overall I actually liked it more than I kind of thought that I would, just because there was a lot of stuff going on that was pretty inexplicable to me. So yeah, there was a huge yeah. comedy element where yeah. I was there just like, why really is was. Sean Spears lit by a spotlight in a room full of chairs right now? Why is Sean Spears' new thing that he loves chairs?
Well, they kept calling him the chairman, and I was like, has that always been yeah. his thing? So
yeah.
like,
but why?
I don't know why.
It's like Brian
I don't know why, but
machine.
I've heard it before. Yeah,
the chairman. I was like, oh, so we're going real literal with this chair thing.
Absolutely insane. And I don't understand what they're doing with Sean Spears at all, and I actually hate him.
No.
Until I get Stockholmed, I guess. But I don't think I will by Sean Spears. I don't. Like
I got
Sean
a little. Listen, concern for myself at the end of it, because he's doing like this like psycho, like I don't know, like Quentin Tarantino-esque, like he's clearly trying to do like a very like I'm a sociopath and I'm like gonna hit yeah. you with this chair thing, and it was like it was irritating me so much, like, and disturbing me in this way, you know, where you're like thinking about it a lot, and then I was like, oh no. Like
no.
this amount
oh, no.
of attention could turn on me real quickly, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. He looks, as long as he has that silly haircut, though, I don't
yeah.
think you're in danger.
I
but
hope
if, he's,
not.
If he grows out a
know.
More normal haircut, I don't know. Yeah, you could be a
I'm
Sean
concerned.
Spears Stan.
Yeah.
Stan Spears.
I wish he still had the blonde, because I really enjoyed,
yeah.
you know, wrestler Draco Malfoy. But
it was
yeah. now that he's
tell him apart from yeah. FTR more easily.
Yeah, but then, yeah, I did like at the beginning, I was pretty impressed by them all. I was about to say scootering down the wall.
I mean,
I'm not smart. on their little lines, on their ropes, down the wall at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was very funny.
That was
repelling
fun.
Down the...
Repelling down the Jaguar sign, maybe?
Yeah. Whatever that was. I enjoyed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't know. Chris Jericho and MJF. Sometimes they do just kind of get me, and I'm just like, you little theater boys are
yeah,
having
they're
so
theater
much
boys.
Fun.
I did they like that they were just like in some random offices. I was like, whose office is this?
Yeah.
And my friend was like, Jessica Jones from the nameplate. I was like, okay, great.
Great, good.
Well, the effect of like them just moving through the offices and then just using like random like office supplies as props gave it a very like Home Alone feel, where like
yeah,
there was
true.
Just like...
A lot of stapling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's just, and I just kept calling them the wet bandits in my head, but it was fun.
Bandits.
And that weird like club that they had set up back there with like the lighting and the like Tully and FDR
Which,
were wearing little bandanas around their necks.
Like, I know. I think they must have done something like that during Stadium Stampede last year, which I haven't watched. Because I saw it mentioned somewhere, and it was pretty funny where like there was a lot of talk going around about like Stadium Stampede can't be funny this year the way it was last year, and it seemed like they were like, well, we'll kind of split the difference, but yeah, we're still gonna be having some of our funny jokes, and I'm like, well, they're not that funny, but I'm glad that you guys
trying.
Are enjoying yourselves.
Yeah
and then the match ended for some reason. They had a really good like penultimate scene, I thought, of Jericho smashing MJF through some stuff,
yeah.
and they were both, you know, medium wrecked by that point. But then for some reason it ended with Sammy Guevara pinning Sean Spears, which I think I've said it 20 times. I guess Sammy Guevara is really over, but I don't know how. I don't know why. His hair looks so silly. It's not,
he
of course, here
so...
can't make or break you, but it shouldn't it be able to in this case?
Yeah. Well, and he just seems so middle of the road for me. It was so confusing because, like, I honestly, like, again, I wanted to go home so badly at this point. And, like, so they were in the ring, like, the two of them. And I was like, good God, how much longer is this going on? Because obviously this can't end the match. Like, obviously we've got to go to somebody more important than these two. And then he pinned him, and it was like, oh, well,
and
I'm
then
glad
he pinned
it's
him.
Over. But, like,
like
weird choice.
Spears. Yeah,
Sean well. Spears. It feels like they're pushing Sean Spears now, and it's like
I don't know why. How much are they paying him? Like, Sean
what?
Spears could leave, and I'd love that.
I know.
I'm
just
sorry.
The inner circle and the pinnacle need to like both break up and just start doing other things. Because like I'm just
yeah.
very done with this. I feel like.
Yeah, but the inner circle just had their vow renewal, so they won't be breaking up anytime soon.
A little retrospective. That went on for, like, so long, too. I was just like...
I know.
Are we just filling like, time? Like, whenever we have
like,
7 minutes
it.
That we...
You
like,
guys really
injury.
Love each other.
Like, yeah. It's like, I...
Good for you.
Okay. Yeah. I did enjoy the sing-along to Judas that ended the whole pay-per-view. Like,
I know.
Can't go wrong with the sing-along, even though, you know,
Christmas. I have catchy songs, song.
I have tickets. Now. I have tickets in September, and I genuinely thought if Chris Jericho
yeah, that Ellie so and my faces were very...
I know. You have tickets to up. What and what? When did you buy them, and why didn't yeah. you tell us?
Right.
Okay.
Look at her.
Guilty face.
Excuse
you tell us this on the air, Leah? On
yeah,
the air?
Yeah, explain yourself.
Leah. They released dates. They released dates. One of them is Boston, and I'm going.
And you didn't
have to clear this with you.
You don't have to clear it. You have to communicate. I'm sorry. You don't want to communicate with your friends?
Who are you
You don't
going
like your
with?
Friends?
My colleagues. Let's be real.
Excuse me?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, podcast canceled.
Over. Yeah, bye.
Leah does my
a
point.
Real abrupt heel
yeah,
turn
who are you going
here.
With, Leah? Yeah,
I'm going with my friend Sarah and my friend Tracy and Tracy's dad.
Tracy's dad.
Okay, well, I can't really get into this anymore. Listen. I can't wait to buy lots of tickets that I never tell you about, colleagues.
We'll circle back on this later. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't expect
Allie,
this. Anyways.
And Jeff are thinking about going to the St. Louis pay-per-view in November. Would Allie like to join us for that one?
I'll come join you, yes. Thank you so much. Great. That'll be a fun time for us.
Yeah,
Jeff.
You, me, and Jeff only.
Hey, Marjorie, producer Marjorie, can you just cut all of this? Can you just mark this for cutting?
Producer Marjorie, none of this will be cut. Thank you so much. Because treachery should be heard about. Oh,
yeah,
traitor.
On the record.
Olivia Rodrigo, traitor.mp3.
okay, well, go back and make your point, I guess.
I don't, yeah, what were you talking about? You want to say something?
Can I tell you that I did not expect this reaction at all, and I've completely forgotten what I was talking about?
I don't know how you
literally mentioned
when
how maybe we would all go to a show in Boston.
No, didn't we going to go to Philly? We were going to go to Philly and stay in Caroline's house.
No,
that is still an option. I was never going with you guys to Boston because I've had long-term plans to go with these people. I was going to Philly with Caroline and Beth and that whole crew. Hello, what? Can we talk about this off the air?
Okay. You don't think this is why people tune into the podcast?
No. To watch us break up? No.
Oh my god. So, okay, overall impressions, best match of the night.
Eddie and Mox.
I liked OC and Pac and Kenny myself.
Guys, I liked Darby and Sting.
Really?
Wow. I mean, I did every match that we've named was that those are the top 3. I think for me, but
yeah.
I don't know why I got so into the Darby Sting match. I was just like, this rocks. And I felt cool.
Well, I love that we all disagree.
Yeah, yeah. Good for us.
Zesty.
And then worst match of the night.
Stampede.
I mean, Cody, I was going to say.
I think maybe it is Cody for me because Cody didn't even have any comedy for me to enjoy. I was just so pissed off.
That's true. Yeah. I think I'm grading Stampede harder because I wanted
shorter.
To go to bed.
Yeah, because you want because you wanted to go to
you
bed.
Wanted to go
yeah,
to bed.
Yeah, I was more actively miserable during Stampede for sure. Yeah, I mean it was a really like firing on all cylinders almost pay per view. Like other than those two matches, like everything was really good. I thought
it was good, but it was also very predictable. It was very like I've been thinking about this, and it's actually shocking how much fun I had considering that I wasn't surprised by almost anything that happened. The only thing that surprised me was Jungle Boy winning.
Yeah, I think that's right. It didn't zag on us. I think Leah, you said what did you say? Did one of your friends say something about this? You want to break it out?
Oh, so Sarah's big on Reddit right now, and so she was saying that someone on Reddit said that Revolution 2020 felt like the end of season one, and that this season, this episode felt like the end of season two, which I thought was a really interesting take.
It is interesting. I've been like thinking about it all night since you said that, and I was like, I don't know though, because like other Sheeta and Britt definitely felt like a season finale to me, but I don't know if the rest of it really did, because there was a lot of like ongoing like stasis. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
Young Bucks yeah. still have the title, like Kenny still has the title. I don't know.
I guess maybe like there maybe like a mid-season finale vibe where it's like one thing has changed. Because I keep being like, oh, now all the champs are heels. And to me, that somehow is meaningful. I don't actually know if that is going to be something that they play with or that impacts the plot lines. But to me, I'm like, that seems like it could be cool. You could really do some stuff about like the dynamics being crazy behind the scenes or like, I don't know, whatever. But that feels like a mid-season finale thing to me where you're like, oh, in the second half of the season, things are about to get out of control because we set up a little wild card.
Yeah. Well, because they're all held by heels, I keep being like, the faces need to get together and unionize and like have a little face meeting. And so, I mean, that could be very fun if the next, you know, season or back half of this season, however you want to look at it, is about, you know, the faces getting together.
And a pitch for unionization.
We stand with labor.
Huge strategy going.
We do. Of course we do.
This podcast, pro we stand labor. With labor.
Yeah. You can't scare me. I'm sticking with the union. And we know that Hangman Adam Page is in favor of that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see what they do. I mean, was there anything that happened that made you think like, oh, this is a plot line that I think we're going to see play out in the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever?
I don't know. But nothing new. Like, it's like, oh, well, we're going to be subjected to, like, the inner circle and the pinnacle for a while longer, you know? Like,
yeah.
But
we anticipate our ongoing subjection.
Right. Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about how Kenny is going to lose the belt and, you know, assuming that he's going to lose it at All Out. And wondering, like, you know, I don't know, like, I mean, assume the Young Bucks, they can't lose it at the same time. So I wonder if the Young Bucks will lose it, you know, between now and the next pay-per-view and then, you know, have you know, them turning back towards faces and dragging Kenny with them. There's like things that I'm like, I wonder what they're going to do. Because like, of the three of them, which one's going to turn face first, you know? I don't know.
It would be pretty unexpected and crazy if they did all lose the belts. if Kenny and the That'd Bucks went down at the same time.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
I mean, it would sort of work in a way because like Kenny did drag them into it, you know?
Oh,
sort
totally.
Like all the
I mean,
elite.
Kenny should be somehow be the cause of their downfall.
Yes. Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be really good. Yeah.
Well, we're excited, whether it's for the next season or the next half season or whatever comes, we're excited for it.
We're going to like it.
We're going to like it because we're marks. We're marks for AEW. We love our AEW boys and girls.
That's
so
right.
We'll be happy. Any final thoughts before we sign off, guys?
I can't think of anything.
Can't
excited for Dynamite tomorrow, I guess.
How long is this podcast gone? I mean, I know we promised them that it was going to be a longer podcast, but it
not
feels like
that crazy. An hour 10.
That's a light
that's
long.
That's not bad.
No, that's
not bad. We did good moving it along.
And
guys,
once Marjorie
really job.
And once Marjorie cuts all the things I'm going to ask her to cut, it's going to be way slimmer.
We'll discuss that later. Behind the scenes, we'll do a follow-up. We'll circle back. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich, and our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, at Tunnel Talk Pod, and via email, at tunneltalkpod@gmail. It's not at tunneltalkpod, at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can definitely find us some places. Just listen to other episodes. You can get those pretty clearly. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.